Audrey Parker is ending her life today. It's not necessarily the time she would have chosen to do it, but she doesn't feel like she has a choice. And we're talking about her situation because that's what she wants us to do. This woman has been using her final days to call our attention to a discussion we need to have around Canada's assisted death legislation, about who gets to avail themselves of this service and when. This isn't a comfortable conversation, so apologies in advance. But many of us will be in that uncomfortable position at some point in our lives, and that's exactly what Audrey wants us to consider. The people who meet the requirements for assisted death are obviously terminally ill. So what happens if they're allowed to end their life, but their health takes a turn for the worse before their wishes can be carried out? Audrey Parker did not want to wait around to find out. But she does want her legacy to offer the next person in her shoes some options. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Michael McDonald is a reporter-editor for Canadian Press in Halifax. He spent time with Audrey Parker. Michael, tell me about her.
Where to begin with Audrey Parker? Well, the first place is that you need to know Audrey is a phenomenal woman. I can't say that I've ever met anyone like her in my life. That would be a fact. She is a 57-year-old Halifax woman. She was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal breast cancer in January of 2016. Since then, she has been very open about the challenges she has been facing. And more recently, in the last year or so, she has been talking very openly about Canada's medically assisted dying law. And she has been arguing that the law needs to be changed for people like her in her specific category. Specifically, it needs to be changed in such a way that she has a little bit more leeway in terms of when she can end her life. When she got the diagnosis, she said that at the time she cried for about 2 seconds, and then she decided it was time to get on with her life, to chart a new path, and to see if she could have what she called, in her words, a good death. She reached out to friends and she reached out to the media, told people about her circumstances, and was very open and honest about what she was facing, but also very passionate about saying there is another way. You don't have to curl up in a ball and withdraw from the rest of the world. Use what little time you have left to be with the people you love and to live or to lead the kind of life you want to lead. She's very outspoken, very eloquent, and very passionate about her particular predicament, which has to do with Canada's 2-year-old assisted dying law.
Yeah, so explain why she is choosing to end her life now.
What Audrey has said is that she is being put in a position where she has to choose, where she is choosing to end her life earlier than she would like. And you'll have to forgive me because this is pretty complex, thorny territory. I'm not a lawyer. I am not an expert on this subject, but I'll try to explain it the best I can. Basically, under Canada's relatively new assisted dying law, those in Audrey's position are faced with some pretty difficult decisions. Now, when I say Audrey's position, what I mean is she belongs to a certain category of people who can avail themselves of this law. She has a terminal disease, stage 4 breast cancer, which has spread to virtually every bone in her body. And she meets all of the criteria under the law, which means that she qualifies for a medically assisted death. One of those things is that her death is reasonably foreseeable, that's to use the language in the law, and that her condition is irreversible. There is no coming back from this. Audrey is dying, and she will probably die fairly soon, regardless of whether or not she takes this step. Where it gets complicated is the fact that the way that the law is written, it says that those who are approved, assessed and approved for medically assisted death, like Audrey has been, and what that means is she actually had to go through a fairly rigorous process,
right,
where she had to talk to two doctors. She told them that this is what she wanted to do, that she wanted a medically assisted death. And, of course, they had to make sure that she was providing what is called informed consent, that she was doing so willingly, of her own free will, voluntarily, with certainly no one looking over her shoulder, and doing it with a sound mind. So that's the category that she's in. The problem is that the law says that right up until the moment when the lethal drugs are administered, she has to be of sound mind. She has to be able to provide informed consent.
In case she wants to change her mind.
Yes, she has to be conscious. She has to be of sound mind, and she has to be able to provide informed consent. Now, that all sounds very reasonable, but keep in mind that Audrey is dying, that she is on extremely powerful painkillers.
Right.
She told me the day that I visited her, she was she had taken a dose of 40 milligrams of Dilaudid, which would kill most people. And of course, her cancer is very advanced. In fact, she even has a spot of cancer on the lining of her brain. So her concern is that what may happen to her in the days and weeks ahead is that even though she has been approved for a medically assisted death, if suddenly she takes a turn and suddenly she wakes up one morning and the cancer in her brain has turned her into someone else, and she is rendered incompetent, or if the drugs suddenly overtake her system and she becomes unconscious and unable to provide informed consent, then suddenly the law says that she is no longer eligible for medically assisted death. So the person who is there to help her carry out her final wishes is no longer legally allowed to do that. And Audrey says, Ms. Parker says, that that's not fair, that the law should be changed in such a way that she should be given the opportunity to end her life, even if she falls unconscious, even if she can no longer provide informed consent during a 12-month period, which would have to be renewed. And she would like to see the law amended so that is an option for her.
This seems like the kind of thing, and I know we like to sometimes pick at our governments for not foreseeing every circumstance, but somebody being incredibly ill and choosing to end their life and then taking a turn for the worse before they could carry it out seems like something you would have thought would have been considered in the legislation.
The Supreme Court of Canada, as you know, with the Carter decision, said that the Parliament of Canada had to come up with a new law, and it set a fairly firm deadline. This whole issue is incredibly thorny. The details of that kind of law are very, very difficult to work out. And of course, there's a great deal of debate over how this law should be applied. As many of your listeners will know, some very outspoken advocates for the disabled have come forward to say that this law could be used to take advantage of disabled people who cannot speak for themselves. And this is a very, very big concern. Was a very big concern for the court and for parliamentarians. And so, in a certain way, the law is not really quite finished yet. So what Audrey Parker is asking for is something called an advanced request. And again, that would be like a written request that would say, in the event that I am no longer able to communicate with my caregivers, with my doctor, if I'm no longer able to give informed consent, this is my directive. I want it carried out regardless. Now, she does not have that option under the law right now for medically assisted death. So this issue that we're talking about right now is a very live issue, and it has been dealt with by, I'm told, two previous expert panels, both of which said that advance requests were a good idea and should be in the legislation. But the federal government really, and understandably, is taking its time on this issue, given the fact that it is so thorny and so subject to debate. Your listeners should know that there is another eminent panel, the Canadian Council of Academies, an independent organization, is looking at three specific issues, and one of them is the issue of advance requests. And they are going to be tabling a report. My understanding is that they're not going to provide recommendations, but I would be surprised if Parliament didn't deal with this issue fairly soon after that. And we'll have to see what happens.
That will, of course, be too late for Audrey, but she is fighting this right up until she takes her life today.
Right. And so I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that Audrey is using her final days to make a very strong political statement. And that is, listen, Canada, listen, parliamentarians, MPs, lawmakers, this law needs to be amended for people like me.
How is she? I mean, this is kind of a decision that none of us can really fathom, especially when you're in her situation and you kind of have to make the decision now for fear of not being able to make it later. How is she doing?
Well, this is a very strong woman. She's a remarkable woman. She is very well known in Halifax. She worked as an image consultant. She worked at CBC doing makeup and floor direction. And she also worked as a ballroom dance instructor. She taught over 7,000 people in the Halifax area how to ballroom dance. We're talking about a very strong, vivacious, outspoken woman who knows her mind and is not shy about getting her message out there. You asked, how is she doing? Well, the day that I met her, which was just last week, she was kind, outgoing, very warm, and not afraid to talk about any subject. And I asked her, you know, I put it to her that most people in her situation would probably shy away from this sort of, well, political act this late in their life, with time really escaping them very quickly. And she just said, well, this is who I am. This is the way I've always been. And this is the decision that I made 2 years ago to let people know that maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's another way to approach end of life situations like this. And certainly she is taking a different path. And, you know, quite deservedly, she's getting a lot of attention today.
Well, it's just it's such a hard subject to talk about. I mean, we talked about in our story meeting this morning, to be frank with you, doing this story, and how difficult it would be for some people who either are sick themselves or have people who are sick in their life, would be for them to listen to. But then we decided that, you know, nobody really talks about it, and she wants us to, so maybe that's why we should.
Well, she made that very clear, that no subject was off limits for her, and that she wasn't afraid of the subject. And, you know, she came right out and said, I'm not afraid to die. And, yeah, it was quite a remarkable conversation with an incredible woman. And she's done a lot of thinking about this, but I think it's laudable for someone to come forward despite having this terrible sickness, this debilitating illness gnawing away at them, and to find the inner strength, never mind the physical strength, to have something very important to say that, you know, in the end will probably affect a lot of us towards the end of our lives.
What does the last couple of days of someone's life look like before an assisted death? What has she been doing the last couple of days to prepare or just to say goodbye?
Well, you won't be surprised to learn that she has had a lot of friends over. She has had several open houses where people have come over to say their goodbyes and to have a chat and, you know, to share their thoughts with her. I know that she's dialed things back a bit. You know, the past couple months have been very, very busy for her. She has done a lot of media interviews. Certainly, I was not the first person to talk to her about her situation. She told me that she will have one of her friends come over to cook her Eggs Benedict with lobster for her final meal. And then it'll be a small group of family and friends who will gather in the bedroom of her Halifax apartment for her final moments. And she told me a little bit about that. Her mother will be there to hold her hand. Three of her best friends will be there, a niece, and she will be serenaded by Nova Scotia singer Laura Smith as she
gazes on some of her favorite artworks, which will be brought in special. Her caregiver, of course, will be there to administer three drugs to her, and then Audrey will be no more.
What's it been like for you as a reporter? I mean, usually reporters show up after the person has already passed. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that's true. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been a journalist for almost 30 years, and no, I've never met anyone like Audrey Parker. To be honest, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to her. She was funny, open, engaging, a little bit profane, and she completely put me at ease and made it very clear that nothing was off limits, and she was prepared to talk about anything because she had a very important message to share. And she wanted to make sure that I understood the niceties, the details of her particular situation and how it applies to the law. Because let's face it, this stuff is complicated. I would argue that most people don't really have a good idea of how this relatively new law applies. It is complicated stuff. But she wanted to talk about that. She felt very strongly about it. And yeah, I know it might sound a little odd, but I very much enjoyed speaking with her. It was very stimulating and really an eye-opener to meet someone with that kind of intestinal fortitude and clear-eyed determination.
It doesn't sound odd to me at all. Thank you so much for taking the time.
It's my pleasure.
Michael McDonald, reporter-editor for Canadian Press, based in Halifax. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find other episodes there. Also, find us on social media, at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We want your feedback. We love it. Find us wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Leave us a rating. Write us a review. Tell us what we can do better. Tell us what you like. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.